In the late 1930s, the seed of a baseball legend begins to unfold on the sand lots of St. Louis, Missouri. Lawrence Yogi Berra achieves the first pinch-hit home run in World Series history. Most valuable player three times. Establishes a major league mark for lifetime home runs by a catcher, 358. Holds more World Series records than any other. It was at the exclusive Jockey Club in Miami, and later at a private golf course, that former Green Bay great Paul Hornung met with Berra to explore the legend of the most devastating hitter in World Series history.
Where did it all start, Yogi?
Well, Paul, it started up on Dago Hill in St. Louis in an Italian section up there. We're all Italians, and my best friend, Joe Gargiulo, was my neighbor. And we played ball together. Every sport that was out, we played together. And,
been friends for life.
That's right.
Your nickname in the family was Lawdy. Where did you get the nickname Yogi?
Well, it started when I played American Legion ball. Jack McGuire gave it that name. Uh-huh. And it just stuck.
Pretty good nickname.
Well, it stayed there. They said I looked like a Yogi, and they called me Yogi.
Yogi, we're both in a trap. Why don't you, you're away. Go
All
ahead.
All right, I'll try it. Uh-oh.
Nice touchy shot.
Yeah, I made it.
All right. It's not too bad. Yogi, let's go back. 1946, when you sign your baseball contract, you come up into the majors in the last part of the season. What happened your first time at bat?
Well, I hit a home run the first time, Paul, and that's a great thrill. You know, I hit it against the Philadelphia Athletics.
Berra swings, and that one's going to leave the ballpark. Well, what do you know? Larry Berra, they call him Yogi, his very first time at the plate in the major leagues against the A's. And what does he do? He hits a home run.
Then in 47, the first pinch hit home run in World Series for you.
Well, that happened in Ebbets Field in Brooklyn. I hit it off of Ralph Branca.
And you were having troubles defensively at the time. What did Connie Mack say?
Well, he said he don't think that young man will be a catcher, you know, unless he improves.
I guess because of that, the Yankees brought up one of their all-time greats, Bill Dickey.
Well, he did. He helped me tremendous, Paul. You know, I did have a strong throwing arm, but it wasn't accurate, and he taught me how to step up into a ball just like an infielder. And he kept me out there for a long time, every
Many
day.
Many hours of practice.
Oh, yeah.
Jarm really get sore?
Oh, yeah, it got sore. He kept me out there blocking balls, everything.
This is
after workout. We were out there alone and everything.
Speaking of alone, let's go ahead and putt out, huh?
All right.
The World Series has had many heroes in its long and celebrated history. And Lawrence Yogi Berra, an unlikely-looking candidate from the sandlots of St. Louis, was certainly one of the most outstanding of them all. It all began dramatically for Berra in 1947, as he became the first man in series history to hit a pinch-hit home run. He continued to demonstrate his devastating power against the Phillies in 1950, unleashing a destructive bat against the great Robin Roberts and the versatile Jim Costanti. The middle 50s witnessed the Yankee slugger face to face with the toughest pitcher the National League could muster, Don Newcomb of the Brooklyn Dodgers. Again, Berra showed a fondness for Newcomb's fastball and the center field fence. In the 1957 and 1958 series, the Milwaukee Braves with fireballing southpaw Warren Spahn were Yogi's next victims as they went down under his relentless assault. And older Yogi Berra faced Bob Friend, and the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1960. But age did not prove a deterrent as Barra continued to dominate series play. Freddie Hutchison's Cincinnati Reds were Barra's coup de grace, and with this final conquest, immortality was attained. For Yogi Berra had achieved more World Series total bases, hits, and runs than any player in baseball history.
'51, you hit 30 homers. That broke Bill Dickey's record for catchers. He had a great year.
Well, it was, Paul. I got voted the most valuable player in 1951, but I thought 1950 I had a better year. I thought I was going to get it in 50. I drove in 124 runs, hit 28 home runs, and I batted 322. But anytime you get the most valuable player, it's good anytime.
And one of your teammates beat you out
there. Phil Rizzuto. He had a terrific year that year also.
Then in 1954, you come back and win your second most valuable player award. And the Yankees did not win the pennant that year. That was you won a lot of ball games, but not the pennant. And still, you were most valuable player. 1955, the Yankees meet the Dodgers and in the World Series. You had a great series. The Yankees blow it to the Dodgers in seven games.
Well, I did have a great series, but it turned out bad, though. In the last game,
we're in game seven of the 55 World Series. Now in the bottom of the fifth, the batter, Duke Snider, lays down a bunt. The throw to first, and he knocks the ball out of Skowron's glove. Runners are safe. That brings up Gil Hodges, the Dodger first baseman. He hits a long fly ball going toward right. Under it and takes it, but the second run is going to score, and the Dodgers lead 2-0.
The Dodgers just made an outfield change. They put Sandy Amrose out there, a left-handed fielder, and took Junior Gilliam out for defensive purpose.
They were ahead in the ninth inning.
Yeah, well, I think this was in the eighth inning, Paul. And I think Casey got criticized on some of it. Why didn't he make me bunt? And actually, I don't know what he said. But I hit a ball down the left field on Amrose. He's real fast.
In the eighth inning, Yogi Berra, the batter, hits one down the left field line. Amrose going after it, makes a great catch. Wheels, here's the throw. The relay to Reese. The throw to first, and they get McDougal. And that ends all chances for the Yanks in this, the 1955 World Series.
1956, the second straight Subway Series against the Dodgers. And Yogi, the sixth game of the 56 series has to go down as one of the greatest baseball games of all time. You caught Don Larson in that perfect game.
Well, it has to be, Paul, because it's never happened in the World Series competition, and it still hasn't. I think that was one of my biggest thrills in baseball. That day, Larson was really sharp. He never shook me off one pitch, Paul.
Yogi Berra calling a masterful game, and Larson here in the 56 series retiring 25 straight batters in the ninth inning. He'll pitch to Carl Perillo. Perillo swings, lofts a high fly to Hank Bauer in right. Bauer under it, and he'll take it.
Yogi, is there any way that you can explain the pressure of the Yankees defensively in the ninth inning while Larson's going for a perfect game?
Well, I guess there was a lot of pressure, Paul, but we were down 3-2 at that time, and we only had a 2-0 lead at that time. I wasn't worried about the no-hitter as much as to win that ball game. I actually mean that.
Campanella to Billy Martin. The throw to first, and there's two down. He needs one more. Gets the signal from Berra. Dale Mitchell. Strike two. Strike three, and he's out. Here comes Berra. It's the first perfect game ever thrown in a World Series.
Last game of the World Series was no contest. Don Newcomb pitched it for the Dodgers. The Yankees won it 9-0. And you had two home runs in the game. There was a story as you trotted around second base, you hollered at Nuke. I hit a good pitch, Nuke. Was that true?
No, that wasn't true there, Paul, because I don't like to antagonize a pitcher. You know, you may have to bat against him again, and he could knock you on your butt. But I did tell the writers after the game, I said I hit two good pitches off of Don Mook.
This is the big day at Ebbets Field, the seventh and deciding game of the 1956 World Series, Don Newcomb against Johnny Gertz. It's the third inning, and Barra will face Newcomb. The pitch, and Yogi swings, and it's out of here. It's going to be a two-run home run for Yogi Barra, who continues his personal vendetta against the Cy Young and Most Valuable Player Award winner, Don Newcomb.
And then I hit a two-run homer off of him, I think it was the fourth inning or something like that.
Newcomb will face Yogi Berra one more time. The delivery. Berra swings, and there it goes. Another towering drive, a two-run home run. Second of the day, and third off Newcomb in this series. Yogi had the grand slammer in game two. And that will be all for Don Newcomb.
That was a bad pitch, Paul. I did. It was a bad. Was a good pitch, maybe.
After you hit it out, right?
Right.
1957, the Milwaukee Braves won the series. 1959, the Yankees gave Yogi Berra his day at Yankee Stadium, and Casey Stengel, I think, gave you a magnificent tribute when he said, besides Joe DiMaggio, that's the greatest player I've ever had the privilege of managing.
Well, I think Casey was a great man. I'll tell you, he was great for baseball, Paul. He was a funny man. The writers loved him. And, you know, they always said he talked that double talk. And I think I put a quote in the paper. They quoted me saying, Casey made you understand when he wanted to. But I have one story to tell you. It was a game Vic Rashi was pitching. Casey let him in. They feel like he let him in too long. He got hit. And he gets a telegram from a kid from Fort Monmouth, New Jersey. So how stupid can you be leaving Vic Rashi in that long? And Jackie Farr, our public relations man, told him, Casey told Jackie, he said, would you do me a favor? Would you send a telegram back to this kid in the Army? And Jackie Farrell said, what do you want me to say? He said, if you're so damn smart, let me see you get out of the service.
1961 was the big year, the power year of the New York Yankees. Mantle and Maris were going after Ruth's record. Maris, of course, hit 61 home runs. Not a lot of people realize that the catching position, which was manned by Barra, Blanchard, and Elston Howard, hit 61 home runs from the catcher's position. They moved you to left field. You played left field a little bit. What about the series against Cincinnati?
Well, we won that easy there, Paul. And, we won that.
It's a little criticism of Yogi in left field.
Well, it's true. They had that terrace up there. You know, you had to be a billy goat to get up there, Paul. And I didn't know it that well.
Yogi Berra in left field at Yankee Stadium. Wally Post hit one, and there was some criticism about the way you handled it.
Well, I thought I had that ball all the way, Paul. I really did. Right today, I don't know how that ball went through my legs, being knock-kneed and all. I really don't know. I could swear I had it before it was behind me, and it went through my legs.
It still wasn't a game.
Yeah, we still won it, but I still can't figure out today how it went through my legs.
Well, Yogi, Mantle told me you were a thief, 14 handicap, and shoot 79.
Well, I got lucky today.
Let's go on back to Jockey Club and relax. Yogi, 1964, you become manager of the Yankees, and it must have been quite a year.
There was rumor of turmoil with some of the players, didn't like the way you were managing, and they may have gone to Ralph Houck and asked that you be fired. Do you remember any of that, or did you know about it?
No, I didn't, Paul. I didn't hear any rumor on that, the players going up to Ralph Houck, but I got an inkling, you know, around the middle of the season where the general manager don't talk to you and all that I was gone.
You weren't in first place at the time, and then the harmonica incident happened.
We're on a bus. We just lost a doubleheader to Chicago. I think it was 2-1 and 1-0. You know, if you're managing, you know, you don't want to be hearing any noises on a bus, you know. And Phil Lynch was playing this thing, and he was just learning how to play it. Actually, I didn't mind if he knew how to play the doggone thing. I wouldn't have said anything. But it just got me upset.
What'd you say?
Well, I don't like to say it on the...
Well, come as close to it as possible. You said quit playing the harmonica. Actually.
Yeah, I told him to quit playing it or I'll shove it down, you know.
And the Yankees seemed to put it together after that. They came together as a team. You went on to win the pennant.
Well, we did, and we gave the St. Louis trouble, too, in the World Series.
Deciding game of the 64 series, it'll be Mel Stottlemyre, Yogi's choice, against Bob Gibson. His first year as manager, and Barra's got him in the World Series. No score in the bottom of the fourth inning. Tim McCarver, the batter. Bounces to Pepitone at first. Throws to Phil Innes for one. Back, and the throw is wide. And Boyer, rounding third, will score as the Cardinals lead 1-0. Stottlemyre delivers, and a double steal as Shannon is safe at second. McCarver will score on the relay, and nothing goes right for Stottlemyre, and Barra will pull him. And now with the score 7-3, Maris gets a base hit off of Bob Gibson. That brings up Mickey Mantle with two on. Mantle swings, and it's a towering drive. Good for three runs, but not enough, as the Yankees and Yogi Berra go down to defeat in his first year as manager.
At the end of the 64 season, you signed on with the New York Mets. And Yogi, being a part of that organization those early years, well, it was, must have been an experience.
The funny part about ball, we were supposed to have professionals then. It's like you said, fundamentals. I know Casey's stressing that a lot, you know. You do it all right in practice, but when the game started, everything happened, Paul. And like I said, I hate to bring up them days like that.
Yogi, the untimely death of one of baseball's greats, Gil Hodges, while he was the manager of the New York Mets. You moved up and took over the reins.
You know, we had a little problems there, too, in the 73. There in the middle of the season, they held a poll. You know, the New York Post to fire me, the general manager, Bob Sheffield, chairman of the board, Don Grant. But the one man I have to really... This is my real good friend, was Bob Sheffield. They wanted to fire me, I think, before the poll even come out, Paul. And Bob Sheffield told Mr. Grant, if you fire him, you got to fire me, too.
Well, the Oakland A's went on to win the championship that year. The start of what a lot of people thought was one of the greatest teams in baseball, but the Mets pushed them.
We did. We had them 3-2, Paul, and we lost the last two. I thought we were going to win it. It's really...
Two World Series as a manager. You almost win it. You're always surrounded by turmoil, and you're the easiest going guy in the world. Everybody in baseball loved you. How do you figure that, Yogi?
Well, I don't know. Some of them say I'm too easy on ball players. I'm not strong enough. But I said I've won two pennants by not being hard.
That's not a bad record, is it?
No, it isn't. I won two pennants in the 4 years I managed. And you keep asking, well, what do you want to do? Be rough? If you're too rough to the players, they get on you for that. If you're too easy on the players, they get on you for that, Paul.
Yogi, you always talked to a lot of the batters that you faced. You were known as one of the catchers who would chatter with anybody.
Well, I enjoyed it. I think, it was a lot of fun.
You weren't trying to psych out the batter.
I did not. That's one thing a lot of people think I try to distract them, but I didn't, Paul. I never... talked to him while the ball was on the way. Like when Ted Williams come up, I knew Ted liked to go fishing. I would say, Ted, where are you going fishing this winter, you know, when the season's over and all that?
Yogi, you had a reputation as being a carefree, easygoing guy. In fact, you know, you look back to the Yogi Berra cartoon. They said it was a takeoff on Yogi Berra. How did you feel about all that?
Well, I didn't feel bad at all, Paul. I wish I would have thought about it. So.
Yogi, I think the name of Yogi Berra will be known as long as baseball is played, one of the greatest names in the history of the game. Three times most valuable player in the American League, 10 world championships with the New York Yankees, and 14 World Series. Hold more records, World Series records, than any man in baseball history. I'll tell you one thing, we're very proud to have you on the show.
Yogi Berra, once professional baseball's most consistent player, and now a member of its Hall of Fame. When Berra retired in 1963, He had established more World Series records than any player in history, while leading the New York Yankee dynasty to 14 pennants and 10 world championships. Today, Yogi Berra is back with his former team, the New York Yankees, as a coach. Long live Yogi Berra, and long live his legend.